From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Man, Sangria Su all day, every day, KGYR Sports. Going to talk this NBA. What the hell is going on, man? The league should have figured it out by now. Or maybe they have and they're just withholding the information. Recent podcast, recent episodes, you can check out the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. Good dialogue as far as the plan of the 2020 NHL playoffs. Check that out on the platform on the various download sites. Without further ado, we're going to have some dialogue on where we stand with the NBA or maybe around life, sports, all that good stuff. Let's see. Let's get the stakeholders on. Dominic, what's going on, bro? I hope all is well. Hope you keep it safe. We didn't have a podcast last week, but we did have the video around. You know, we had the video discussion with Knickerbocker Avenue yourself last week. What's going on, sir? How's everything?
Good evening, Steven. Everything is fine and dandy. I hope all's well with you, brother.
I'm good, man. Thank you very much, man. I hope all is well with you too, man, and you and the family, man. The last time we talked on the podcast, right, Av, you, Chris, myself, Av was adamant that there was not going to be a season. I think you may have had echoed the same sentiments. And I was actually I'm kind of more optimistic about it. Now, we're seeing a little bit more progress in the other leagues. I think sometimes when you get the domino, the ball rolling in other sports, since the last time we talked, you see golf have some sort of exhibition games. NASCAR's had their races without fans. The UFC had multiple fights back-to-back weekends. They didn't have one this Memorial Day weekend, but they got one this upcoming weekend. And now you've heard the NHL news with a nice plan in place to get the NHL started. I am optimistic the NBA is going to get it done. Your stance changed about the NBA?
Well, it changed that night when me, you, and Knickerbocker Av did the video. I started weighing everything, and you know what? The NHL did exactly what the NBA should do. Let's get right into the playoffs. We don't need to see all 30 teams no more. We've seen enough. And let's get right into the playoffs. Have a start date of X. Back that up. That's when you start working out. Boom. Let's get this party started and call it a day. Otherwise, Steve, like I said, when I told you and Knickerbocker Ave, when I started flipping to the other side, we're running out of time. I mean, this is already a shortened season. You're going to cramp the playoffs. That means you're going to go into almost next season. So you're going to start that season late. So now we're steadily playing catch up. Just jump right into the playoffs, Steve. I'm a Knicks fan. Who really wants to see the Knicks and the Pistons play, or the Knicks and a top seed play, or the Pistons and a top seed play? That ship has sailed, Steve. Let's just get right into the playoffs like the NHL did. And get this party started. I mean, I can't see them bringing all 30 teams back, Steve. I think that would be a waste. I don't want to hear nothing about revenue. People have lost their jobs. 40 million people are unemployed. Don't bring up the money. Just let's get started.
Are you mean to tell me you don't want to see the New York Knicks? No, just kidding, man.
No.
I know the Knicks fans,
Steve,
listen to this
late. We've seen enough.
Yeah.
But let me say one more thing, Steve. If you do that, let's just say they jump right into the playoffs. So, okay, hypothetically, Steve, we're going to start June 30th. So that means before June 30th, you could have done the lottery draft, the balls. Get that out the way like we would do a normal season. Wherever you stand now, that's where you stand. Do the lottery, call it a day, have the playoffs start.
Yeah, I have no issues with that, Dom. I've said it all along, man. The timetables doesn't really mean a thing to me. I just think as long as they get it done and they have a plan. See, I think what really bothers a lot of fans who follow a lot of the beat writers, a lot of those, you know, people who are really in tune with whatever articles have to say, just really sit back and think about this, right? You're right, or I agree with you, Dom, and this is the way the NHL has taken an approach. They said, you know what, we're going to make a cutoff. We're going to expand the playoff field. We're going to shorten the first round of the playoffs. So teams that were probably in the hunt, we're going to just throw them into the playoffs. I mean, one or two teams got snake bitten, but you know you should have had a better year. That's not our fault. Sometimes it is what it is. I think they're probably going to look at what the NHL's formula is and kind of sort of emulate it. I think that's fair. Like if you're a bubble team on the playoff, they probably throw you in. You play probably one game, a winner take all type of game to go to the next round versus a top seed. I would love to see that out of the NBA. In fact, I think it's easier for the NBA than the NHL to find. I mean, anybody can find a basketball court or in an indoor arena in any part of this country, Dom. You know that. Hockey arenas in the summer is not as easy, so you got to have to really plan that out. But when it comes to the NBA, I'm with you, Dom. I say expand the playoffs almost sort of like the NHL. I would probably expand it to the top, whatever, I don't know, 10 teams in the East and make the bottom seeds play one playoff game or one playing game if they, something like that. If they just want to go traditional route, 8 in each conference, I'm cool with that. Just get something on the table, a plan. Over the weekend, the holiday weekend, Dominic, that they were looking at playing a lot of those games at Disney, I guess, because it makes sense. And if you really think about it, ESPN has all the TV rights they have a lot of the TV rights of the NBA playoffs. TNT has one conference, ESPN has the other. They were like, said, F it. We're going to play at the Worldwide Sports Arena in Orlando. I have no issue with that. We all know Orlando, if you've been down there, it's got nothing but resorts. You could pull a lot of these teams, players on the resorts, their families, and you could have them almost isolated away from the way Orlando is set up, especially like when it comes to Disney resorts and places like that. You could have them really secluded. Like you don't have to see a lot of pedestrian traffic, a lot of people to come into contact. And a lot of people are not really traveling right now, obviously. So Orlando makes a lot of sense if you want to throw the playoff teams in and just do a games right there. What's your thoughts as far as, the potential of the hub cities as far as like Orlando because through ESPN, ABC, Disney? What's your thoughts on that if they were to get that going?
One thing, Steve, it's the governor of Florida dropped the mic on everybody who said Florida would be the next New York, it would be the next France, it would be the next this, it would be the next. He dropped the mic on him. I don't know if you saw his conference. It didn't happen. All the naysayers, nobody flattened the curve faster than the state of Florida when they were skeptics. Everybody was talking about him. So, one, it's a good spot virus-wise. Let's go with the health issues. Right now, they proved that they could flatten that curve, and that's what everybody was looking for. But here's the catch, Steve. If, let's say, hypothetically, they start June 30th, you could actually start games at 12 o'clock because, one, people are still not working unless miraculously 40 million people go back to work before June 30th. Kids are out of school. We bring basketball back to the youth instead of showing games at 9 o'clock in May and they fall asleep before halftime, miss the game.
Good point.
They could actually run this like a tournament, Steve. First game at 12, next game at 3. Next game at 6, next game at 9. That's 4 games in one night in one arena. Sort of like, I hate to say this, but I hate it, summer league. Nobody's going to be there. Y'all just bring one team, bring two teams in, do the social distancing, whatever they're going to do. Get some time to clear them out, sanitize the place. Boom, next game. They could do 4 games, Steve, in one day. And it would do nothing but boost the ratings. I don't care who's showing it, ESPN, TNT. What else do you have to do at 12 o'clock in the afternoon? Again, Steve, unless miraculously All of this goes away. People start going on vacations, whatever the case may be. You have that option to cram these games in. I'm not for no more games, Steve, because you know what? Even the playing games, because that ain't fair to a team like, let's say, Memphis, Orlando, who stood above these teams that couldn't get out their own way all year. Now you throw them in a one-game winner-take-all, and you actually hurt the other team because Memphis had a good season. Orlando is under 500, but they're still the eighth seed, Steve. If anybody was going to catch them, why didn't you catch them during the season? Okay, let's knock that off. You know, oh, this team had a chance. No, no, let's just stop. You had a chance during the season, and you didn't do it. So let's cut that out. 1-6, 1-8, 1-8. Or I even heard them floating out what people have been talking about for years. Just a straight 1-16. Milwaukee plays Orlando. The Lakers play whoever. Whoever was the 15th best team. But just have a plan. Because I think that's what the NHL did, didn't they? They went from top to bottom. Threw a couple of more teams in there. But they went from top to bottom. We're not going to do all of this mixing and matching. However they do it, Steve. It's got to be a plan. And a date. Just get this under control right now. Because you're right, Steve. They're playing golf. They're racing NASCAR. They're doing UFC. It's given, I hate to get back to this, Steve, it's given people a sense of normalcy. Hey, I could turn something on and it's live. Oh, what a novel thought. You know, come on. It's time, Steve. It's time. It's time, buddy.
Right on. You're absolutely correct. Whatever the plan is, I'm with it, man. The NBA Players Association, the PA, and the league, they're going to have to come to an agreement on what it is. Whatever the disagreement happens to be, it cannot be on money. But this is why I think ESPN is like, you know what, we're going to try to put our name in the hat as far as trying to get this thing going. If your state is not having activities, you know, or wherever, they're saying, epic, let's go to Florida and make it happen. You know, as you know, Disney, Orlando, sunny, state is open, cases are going down. It's all set up shop here. You have plenty of lodging. You have plenty of resorts. And the beauty of the resorts is it's kind of secluded. So you don't have to necessarily worry about, you know, face-to-face contact. So, yeah, Dom, for me, honestly, it really doesn't matter whether they do the 1 through 16. The Players Association will have to agree to that. The league will have to agree to that if they went that route. I'd rather, if they just want to do the simple 1 through 8, get something going, get back to normalcy. I'm shocked it's even taking this long. I thought of all the major sports, Dom, the NBA would have figured it out because, like you said, you have almost a blueprint on how they kind of already do things in the off season with the summer league in Vegas. That's the blueprint. You're right. You could play games at noon and get crazy ratings because a lot of people are still at home, not doing nothing, or maybe they are working from home and they may want to peek on ESPN. Wow, while I check my email or work or whatever. I mean, let's see how the Bucks are playing against the Magic. They're going to do that, Tom. That's a fact. Oh, well, not a fact, but I like my chances of being right on that. Let's put it like that.
It
is noon.
But I'm sorry, Steve.
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
Here's the thing, Steve. One, don't bring up money because what everybody's going through. Check that box. And you know what, Steve? You're not going to make up the money you lost. There's too much money that was lost. So if you're going to start crying revenue, players are going to lose money. The teams are going to lose money. The networks are going to lose. They already lost this money, Steve. So for you to try to put the genie back in the bottle, don't do it. Again, just come up with a plan. Let's rock and roll. Do not bring up the word money. Do not bring up the word revenue. Let's just say we're going to start on June 30th, July 15th in Orlando, Florida. And here we go. Milwaukee's playing Orlando. Clippers are playing Memphis or the Lakers are playing. Let's just go. I don't want to hear nothing about the other team. I don't want to hear nothing about money. People just want to see basketball, Steve. Basketball, baseball. like I said, Steve, we just want to see something live that's happening right now. I told you this earlier on, Steve. The reruns are only going to last but so long. I can't watch them no more. Even if I flip by it, I'd be like, nah, I can't do it. Nope. I was stuck on the MLB channel for a minute watching the old baseball game. Nope. That lasted about a good 2 or 3 days. Nope. So if you're offering, like, I tell you what, Steve, you nailed it. For the NHL, come out with their plan before anybody else. Wait, and you know what? You didn't hear the NHL bitch about money, did you? You didn't hear them bitch about revenue lost and this and that and the other thing. They came up with a plan, and this is what's going to happen. End the conversation. Let's go. Perfect. Perfect.
I think
everybody's going
to
win.
I think the NHL has a lot more to gain than any of the team sport leagues. I think we can all agree to that because they weren't the most popular sport of the four. The four team sports. So them making a push in a time like this, a crisis like this, they have everything to gain because they, you know, NFL is the most, you know, it's the number one sport. And I'll say NBA is right behind that. And then baseball, then hockey. When you're talking the four team sports. So they had everything to gain. I thought the NBA would have figured it out by now. Because the reason why I say that, Dom, is they were the first ones to actually take the lead of pausing or suspending sports or suspending their league, and then everybody else followed the NBA's path. I thought we would have saw more of that with the NBA taking the lead, but I was actually, I guess, wrong on that, Dom. Anything else, Dom, on this as far as what you think the NBA should implement?
Thanks, Steve. The NBA couldn't have went from Nobel Peace Prize to, oh my God, we're going to start playing in a month. You know, I understood that aspect. I understood all of their aspects. I personally, Steve, thought Major League Baseball would be the first ones to come up with a plan. Because guess what, Steve? They didn't get no revenue yet this year. They're already, you know, talk about money lost. At least the NBA, the NHL, you know, these other sports,
yeah,
they made some money this year. Major League Baseball didn't make a penny. So I thought that they would say, you know what? First of all, we play our games in a hotter climate. So, again, Steve, going back to the science, the hotter the weather, the more the humidity, the less the virus lasts in the air, whatever. Now they come out where it might not even be where it's on the surface. So I thought baseball, because of what they lost already, Steve, that they would have said, hey, you know what? June 15th, June 1st, we're playing baseball. We're going to give it a shot, and we're going to see how it goes. But that didn't happen. Two thumbs up for the NHL. Maybe this will force other sports' hands. The baseball thing, I understand, because the owners and the players, and you know how the Major League Baseball Union is, Steve. When you talk about cutting people's money, you know, that union is strong. Let's just keep it real. There ain't no stronger union in America, probably, than the MLB union. So the plan they're coming up with, Steve, I understand it. Like, let's say the Garrett, the Coles, he'll get less money up front. The underpaid players, they'll get less money up front. The underpaid players will get more up front. If you make the playoffs, the higher paid players will get more money, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But when you talk about cutting money in baseball, I don't know, Steve, man. MLB is run by Jimmy Hoffa, man. They just don't play.
Pretty much.
I could see if they don't come up with a plan very soon for baseball, we ain't going to see baseball this year. And it'll have nothing to do with the pandemic. It'll have everything to do with the union, money, these crazy plans they're coming up with. Because what they're doing now, Steve, I don't like. They're playing divide and conquer. They're appeasing the underpaid players up front. So they have the most to lose. They already lost the most, you know. And then now you're mixing apples and oranges. Now you're going to have that divide and conquer. Well, the underpaid players want to play because they need the money. So I don't like their approach, Steve. So, but with basketball, Steve, I got this funny feeling we're going to see the first playoff game on somewhere around July 15th.
I believe that. Oh, I definitely believe that. Let's get Knickerbocker Ave on, our source for the streets for the Knicks. And if you have not followed or seen on Knickerbocker Avenue's page, the tribute, the salute to the great center Patrick Ewing, who was diagnosed with the COVID-19, and we wish Patrick Ewing well, the center from Georgetown. But Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets, Ave. We talked. I don't know where you still stand, because the last time we talked on the video, we had between us, that you see no season at all. I still believe that your stance is still the same. But feel free to add on to that, your thoughts, Patrick, you and all that, man. What's going on now?
What's going on, guys? My position hasn't really changed because of just there's so much out there that, you know, so much new information that keeps on popping up, and you really can't. And me being the kind of person that doesn't like to believe everything that's on the news, it's hard for me to like decipher, you know, what information is valid and credible, and which one is just, you know, hogwash or manipulated by, you know, someone of authority just trying to, you know, to get the economy moving again. And so, I'm all for the idea of, if the NBA season's a wash, just say it already. Just say it's a wash. There won't be an NBA champion crowned this year, and that be it. Kudos to the NHL for, you know, for thinking outside the box and, you know, and creating some kind of a format and some kind of some kind of sports that, you know, that puts a definitive end to their season. You know, 2014 playoffs is really interesting. I really feel that the NBA really, because it, of all the four sports, football not included, because football's not even, their season hasn't even started yet. But of the three remaining sports, that's the one sport that, you know, where, you know, people are most vulnerable, because you're checking guys, you're getting up close and personal with the guy, you know, guys are breathing and sweating on you, you know, touching you and all that kind of stuff. It's a more of a contact sport as opposed to Major League Baseball, which is, you know, the pure definition of social distancing. And I think Dom said that last week, you know, when we were in that Facebook room. And in terms of hockey, you know, they can always, you know, they can adjust the helmets and wear a face, you know, like a glass covered face mask. And that would, you know, at least be another, you know, added protocol, which they're probably already thought of. You know, we don't know all the details on that one. The NBA, you know, the players are a lot more vulnerable, you know, to any kind of contamination of any kind. You don't know, you know, I'm pretty sure that, you know, that they would go through a whole lot of testing, a whole lot of, you know, precautions and protocols. But the reality is that, you know, anybody, you know, you can't control what these players do once they leave the court, once they get on the bus, once they go home, once they start practicing, once they start going out in nightlife, you know, as soon as, you know, the rest of the world starts to, you know, pick up again, you don't know what, you know, what they could be doing, and you can be leading yourself into a much higher problem. So if the NBA says it's, you know, the season's a wash, then I can live with that. Baseball, I agree with Dom, should have already figured this part out, because it's a, like I, you know, just like he said, and like I just reiterate now, it's a social distancing game. You know, guys don't necessarily have to be all on top of each other. I mean, the most contact you'll have is either the dugout, the bullpen, or, you know, the catcher and the pitcher, you know, going over signs and whenever the, you know, a change is being made. Aside from that, everybody's in, you know, far away distance. You know, they're double, they're triple, quadruple. I mean, they're far away from each other, so that, you know, you can avoid any kind of cross contamination or infection of any kind. I mean, I'm surprised that baseball hasn't figured this part out yet. And the talks of, you know, slashing checks, we may not have baseball either. Because if they really want to push forward with this, knowing what happened in 94, I just don't see that happening. But kudos to the NHL, and we'll just see if the NFL will, since they still have time, by then you would think, and hopefully you would hope that this pandemic would be done and be just a bad nightmare. This, they can get started and we can start seeing fans in the stadiums again. We can start rooting for our teams, start having something to talk about other than just, crazy reported news. Like you said, Steve, big shout out to Patrick Ewing and his family. From what was reported, he's back home. He's doing a whole lot better. He's not showing very many symptoms at all, if anything. And so far, so good. I mean, hopefully he makes a speedy recovery. And I don't know, man. Today, in terms of the Twitterverse, it's kind of like, Tom Thibodeau is being run out. I mean, that's being run out a lot today and yesterday. I kind of want to see hear your thoughts on that one in terms of Thibodeau. Next coach. That's what we're hearing. That's what's being proposed. Bleacher Report.
Is it reports or are we talking rumors? I mean,
this
that's,
is reports.
That's
reports are that Leon Rose is looking for the new head coach. He hasn't even. I don't even think he even is even considering Mike Miller to retain his job since he did a pretty good job when he took over for Fizdale, but they're looking at. Tom Thibodeau, acclaimed CAA head coach, they're looking at him as their number one target in terms of the next head coach of the New York Knicks, not with Kenny Atkinson being a close number two.
Oh, okay. Well, we all know about Tom Thibodeau's history, as an assistant head coach. Head coach wise with Chicago, Minnesota. Well, he was running double duty in Minnesota. He was a head coach. He was a president. Maybe that was too much on his plate. I thought he had relative, good success in Chicago as a head coach after he left the bench. He was the number one assistant to Doc Rivers back in 2008 when they won the championship with the Celtics, or 2007, whatever year it was, with the KG Ray Allen teams, whatever. Assistant coach with the Knicks back in the day. If we're talking moving on to head coach, I mean, Mike Miller is an interim head coach. But if you – I wouldn't have an issue with Tom Thibodeau. Shoot, we talked about this years ago where we thought he would have been the head coach a couple years ago. So it's a guy that I'm not opposed to Tom Thibodeau. I just think what he had in Minnesota, not necessarily the personnel, but the he had multiple hats on. He had, the team president hat on. He had the head coach hat. Sometimes you everybody's not Red Auerbach. You can't do everything, especially when you have a team with 32 teams. Red Auerbach back in the day is only 8, 9, 10 teams. So it's probably easier to do everything. So I say all this to say, Av, and we'll get Dominic's opinion. I'm not opposed to Tom Thibodeau if his name is in the hat. What's your thoughts, Dominic?
I'll go back to what I said 3-4 years ago, that the Knicks need an adult in the room. There's a reason teams like Miami are successful. Championship or not, they're successful. They have a culture that everybody talks about from the top to the bottom. So far, the Knicks have placed pretty good people in pretty good spots. Now you bring in a coach, and I don't want to hear none of this running players into the ground. With all of these games off and load management days, and you're professionals. If you can't take somebody telling you what to do, then you're in the wrong work. Then save your money and buy a team so you could have all the say-so. The Knicks finally have a chance, and I said this 3 years ago, to finally get an adult in the room. With all of this topsy-turvy, wheels on the bus going round and round, 5 coaches in 6 years, come on, it's time. No nonsense kind of guy. He had the wrong young players in Minnesota. Let's just be honest, guys. He had a lot of snowflakes in Minnesota. And when you got snowflakes and then you combine a Jimmy Butler with them snowflakes, it wasn't going to end well. So he had to be the one to take the burden. Let's keep something else on it. He was the first coach to get them to the playoffs in 15 years. So let's just keep that in perspective. But he just got a bad deal. And like you said, Steve, he was wearing too many hats in Minnesota. And he had the wrong combination of young players with a mixture of Jimmy Butler. That wasn't going to work, guys. I'm not a genius. Don't claim to be one. Don't play one on TV. But he, to me, he's what the Knicks really need moving forward. If this is your turning point, then damn it, make that turn sharp and let's keep it moving. You got good young players. You may have players that say, wow, you know, the Knicks have turned the corner. You know, they got a legitimate coach. I'm assuming if you hire a Thibodeau, he's not going to be a one and done. He's going to be in it for the long haul with all the other guys ahead of him in that chain of command that we just hired. This is a great – I always said this, guys. The Knicks should take this opportunity of not playing ball to get their ducks in order for next year. Get your top brass ready. Get the draft ready. Get your coach in place. Everybody's good to go as soon as we hit the ground when we have training camp. None of this waiting no more, man. The Knicks have a golden opportunity to rewrite this ugly-ass history that we've had for far too long. That's what I got to say about Thibodeau. Please hire this guy. I'm glad you brought that up, Steve, because we talked about this quite a few years ago. But, oh, he'll bump heads with Phil Jackson. Damn Phil Jackson. He's gone. Make a right. Make a wrong a right. I don't see a better coach, guys, to be honest.
Fair enough. Well, let me ask you this, Av and Domino. I'll go to you, Av, first. So if we're saying Tom Thibodeau, right? Obviously, there's going to be wholesale changes. Because do you think, like Dom said, as far as snowflakes in Minnesota, do Leon Rose and do Scott Perry, well, maybe not necessarily Scott Perry, but you got to kind of keep his name somewhat in the mix. And then, of course, Tom Thibodeau. Let's say we consider Tom Thibodeau. Do he look at the Knicks roster and say, like what Dom just said about Minnesota being snowflakes, do they look at the Knicks roster being snowflakes? And then if that's the case, what personalities, what fit of the current crop of Knicks that we do have, a lot of those contracts are not long at all, who stays, who goes?
Well, if – you know, if we're playing devil's advocate, Tom Thibodeau would be named the head coach of the New York Knicks. I think that, you know, somebody like Kevin Knox, who, you know, we've talked about this ad nauseum about his motor. This would be a time for either him to either get with the program or he's about to be gone. I think that everybody else, I think Julius Randle more than likely will be gone. Just for cap space. And then after that, you know, a lot of these contracts are going to expire anyway. So you're going to be basically looking at almost like a clean slate of talent. You would still have Neal Akina. You would still have RJ Barrett. You still have Mitchell Robinson. And then everybody else is pretty much, for Rose, Perry, and for Thibodeau to put the piece together. And, you know, if they can make the move to move Randall, and gain back some cash space, and who knows, even a draft pick. I doubt that, but let's just play devil's advocate. I think that the Knicks would now have just changed the entire perception in just this, and made a vast improvement due to the fact of this COVID-19 pandemic. Because, I mean, come on, Leon Rose, is a superstar agent. He's well connected, and he's trying to change the face of, this organization. You got a hard-nosed coach and Tom Thibodeau, who knows the organization, who knows the city. He's been here for a long time. You know, he was under Pat Riley and Jeff Van Gundy. So I think that that combination, and the three guys that I just mentioned. And if they're able to still move Dennis Smith Jr., which I know they were talking about that as well. I mean, the Knicks basically have a clean slate, and they can, if they draft well and they get some notable free agents, over the next couple of years, they would have at least on paper have rewrote their own history and you know, just washed away the Scott Layden years, the Isaiah Thomas years, the Phil Jackson years, you know, the D'Antonis and the Derek Fishers and the Jeff Hornacek and the Larry Browns. I mean, the Don Chaney's, all these guys, all that history would still be there, but they're basically finally turning that, you know, closing that chapter on paper to turn this organization around and start making it successful. And success is not necessarily a championship, but at least it's staying in relevant contention for that championship, to be in that conversation, because the Knicks haven't been in that conversation in over 25 years. Let's just be realistic. I mean, come on now. You know, Tom Thibodeau, my only concern is, even though Dom said let's not bring that up, that he runs players on the ground, is that he does run players on the ground. Injuries. You know, guys who have had injury problems or have, you know, motor problems, like Kevin Knox, I just mentioned. You know, will they be able to, you know, to adjust to that kind of a system? Defense first, hard nose, you know, pulling forth 100% effort night in and night out, all four quarters, having the lead guys, you know, be able to play, you know, 30, 40, 50 minutes sometimes, you know, per night. Those things are, you know, are big ifs in that situation, because Thibodeau does have that reputation. And because the players of today are not conditioned that way, and they're, you know, and mentally they're not mature enough to do that that way, it does raise, that's like my only question mark in that whole situation. Aside from that, I'm all for it. I mean, Kenny Atkinson, you know, when that was being floated around as well as a number two, I thought about it. I think it was a nice idea, but Thibodeau to Atkinson. Thibodeau has a long history of success in Chicago. Like Dom said, he got Minnesota into the playoffs for the first time in 15 years. You know, despite despite his dismissal there, the guy is proven. And like Dom said, I'm reiterating a lot of his stuff now. You have an adult in the room who's not going to take, you know, the players' nonsense. He's gonna get 100% effort from them. So, you know, fans, if you're listening, and if you're a big Kevin Knox guy, you know, this is the, you know, it's put up or shut up time, and we can finally, you know, decide whether Kevin Knox is, you know, a good draft pick or he was a bust. Yeah, so far he was treading a little bit of water on that bust side, but maybe this is what he needs. Maybe this is what they all need, because damn it, this is what we need. We the fans need this. We need to start rewriting our own history.
Hey Dom, go ahead, fire away, Dom.
One thing: if you get Thibodeau, then you know what you're getting. So that means everybody's on notice. Everybody, that whole roster. If you can't cut it, you're gonna be gone. Because that should be the understanding that he has with Rose. Let's just keep it real. If Rose puts the cards on the table, hey, Tom, you come in here, you do your thing. Okay, that box is checked. If you can't maintain, you can't put up. Because I tell you what, guys, there ain't nobody on the Knicks roster, to me, Thibodeau or not, that's safe. You ain't safe. You could be here today and gone tomorrow. If we're going to reboot this, then guess what, guys? You might be part of the reboot. Sorry, I don't care what people are saying, watching these videos of Mitchell Robinson trying to look like Earl Monroe. You didn't do it in the game. Easy to do that 3-on-3. But you know what? If you can't, that's the one thing that Thibodeau is going to bring in, guys. This is what I'm about. This is what I want to see. And guess what? You ain't safe. Plus, the Knicks are in a great position, guys, with all of these one-and-dones they sign every year. So now him and Rose could get together and say, okay, Steve looks good. He fits what we're doing. That Knickerbocker Ave guy, he looks good. Now you can actually start putting the right pegs in the right hole. stop all of this nonsense. This is the one time, guys, that the Knicks going out and signing these guys for these one-year deals might truly pay off. Because guess what, guys? We did it and did it and did it, but came back doing the same thing. Again, no adult in the room. You cannot tell me, guys, that the Miami Heat went from a big three going to four championships and rebooted all of that and still stood competitive because they had a system in place. You're coming here, Pat Riley's in charge, next guy in charge is Spoelstra. Deal with it. Period. Deal with it. You're a professional. We're paying you to do a job. Deal with it. No snowflakes allowed. If you ain't with the program, guess what? I got a funny feeling, guys. If the Knicks got a good, just a good point guard, a true point guard, Julius Randle is not that bad. He's not that bad. He's proved that. When he's had a point guard, he was a pretty good player. And again, I go back to what I said in the summer when I hoped the Knicks signed him. If you look at this guy's numbers, his numbers went up every year he's been in the league, except his three-point shoot. But he didn't have a coach this year, the whole year, to stop, to tell him, stop. You're shooting 21% from three. If I see you shooting another three, you're going to be in the locker room. That's a Tom Thibodeau type of guy. Let's stay away from that three. Your numbers say you shouldn't be shooting threes. I shouldn't have to tell you this. What are you, children? You're shooting 21% from three-point land, and you're still jacking threes. And nobody had the balls to say, hey, Steve, you want to knock that off? Again, the adult in the room, guys. I'm all for this. And it's a perfect opportunity. Think of all the guys the Knicks could just let walk. Let's just keep it real. We don't even have to say, oh, we got to find a trade. Just let them walk. We're not renewing your contract. We're opting out. We wish you the best. And keep it moving. Perfect opportunity, guys. Like Knickerbocker Av said, if anybody benefited from this pandemic, it should be the Knicks. And one more thing in Knickerbocker Av's thing about starting the season again. Again, looking at Florida, looking how the curve has slanted. If you get these guys in there 20, 22 days before you're going to kick this off, again, listening to all of these naysayers, know-it-alls, it takes 4 to 12 days for the virus to come out in your system to actually test a true positive. If you're there for 15, 18 days, guess what? All you guys on the court do not have this. And they already have a plan for getting them outside of that system where they go as groups. They don't mingle with the outside world. I know it sounds kind of weird, guys, that we have to let them play but still sort of quarantine them. But that's a good plan. It's a good plan in a good state with good weather. And they have a plan for them to enjoy themselves as much as they can with their families, but just not intermingling with the outside world. So they have a semi-good plan in place, guys. Just say what you're going to do and do it. That's it. You have enough time to test everybody for them first 14, 15 days there. We're all good to go. So that means you're on the court with people that are good to go. I understand Knickerbocker Av's theory with you're close to one another. But if you've been tested for 14, 15 straight days, that means everybody on the court mm-hmm. is good to go. There's nobody in the stands, so you didn't catch it from them. Yeah, you know, I'm pretty sure they're going to check the ball boy, the towel boy, the coach. So that part they can control, guys. It takes some work with the quarantine and, will the NBA and the Players Association buy? Or come on, guys, it would take, what, maybe a month, maybe 6 weeks of your life, and they're still giving you enough freedom for you to enjoy yourself where you don't feel like you're in a cage at the border. You're still able to enjoy life while you play. And we got the testing down pat now, so that's a great plan, guys. I just wish they would say this is what we're going to do. Or, as Knickerbocker Av would say this is what we're not going to do. And we're going to call it George and start up next year. They're running out of time, guys. That's my only concern there. Running out of time because they're going to end up messing up next season. They're already talking about if they do this plan, they may end up starting next season after Christmas. So that means you're going to go from January to whenever. So you're playing catch up for a whole year. Make a decision and run with it, guys. That's all. That's all we want as fans. That's all I got on that. But Thibodeau's a good pick.
Here's the thing, though. Let me address both issues. Let me start with the NBA first. The NBA, that's exactly what I've been saying. You have the test. You can implement the test and get the number of tests you need for your players. Florida makes all the sense in the world as one major hub because, like I said earlier, with Disney, ESPN, you could have it at multiple arenas in Orlando, and you would have that secluded. Orlando is one of the few places in the States where you could do the resort thing, and it's like villages. You can pull it off and have your families there if you choose to have your families there. So there's time. See, here's the other kicker about this is on a lot of the leagues, we don't know what's real. We don't know what's fake as far as news. We're just doing the speculating or just doing what we think makes sense. And what this makes sense if you want to make it happen. At some point, we've said it all along, Dom, you have to return to normalcy. If they choose or want to return to that normalcy, if the NBA want to look back at history, and as long as everybody's safe, because we don't want people getting sick, of course, somebody may get sick. You may have to quarantine them for a few weeks and then retest them again, so on and so forth. But just like we said about the NHL, they may look at it 30, 50 years from now. They say 2020, they figured it out, they made it happen, get back to normalcy. As far as the Knicks, this is the thing, though. You guys hit the nail on the head as far as the identity of the head coach or, you know, Tom Thibodeau, what we know, what he brings to the table as far as hard-nosed, tough defense. I mean, that's everything what Knicks, 90 Knicks fans, 80 Knicks fans, they live for that type of identity. He's an identity coach. We know strong defense, and, you know, like Av said, run guys into the ground. Usually Tom Thibodeau, he's – I got to be fair, though. If he I haven't seen a situation where, as him as a head coach, he was going to build it from the ground up. He kind of went into some already put-together teams, the Chicago team, once he left Boston, you know, he had a young Derrick Rose. He had some nice young pieces. He had Joakim Noah was kind of like the verbal leader. Luol Deng. So they had a nice little team. When you come into this Knicks situation, he ain't got nothing. He's working with nothing, honestly. And that's not to say these players aren't nothing. But, Dom, I'll give you your point. Now, I really believe the Knicks had a chance this season somewhat. Had we had, like, the point guard situation was stabilized. We all knew Frank Ntilikina was not the answer. We all said that. He's had, like, a flash moment every blue moon. But I really thought once Elfrid Payton, you know, when he was out all those games and the Knicks went on, like, a 9-10 game losing streak early in the year and we really fell out of playoff picture and we never recovered from that. But once he came back and he got his win, we actually put together some nice wins here and there when we had a stable point guard. And this goes back to your point, Dom, as far as Julius Randle, because you saw that in New Orleans last year, over the year before that. Elfrid Payton, the Julius Randle combo was actually working down in New Orleans. So, you know, we all say this to say nobody thought the Dennis Smith Jr. experiment was going to fail like it did. I think Dennis Smith Jr. was hurt a lot, and I'm not making excuses. I just don't think he was motivated. He was injured. It was a combination of all that. But all at the end of the day, mentally, I think that more of that is on him. But I don't see Dennis Smith Jr. as this Tom Thibodeau-led point guard. I really don't. So I think he's out the door. But somebody like Elfrid Payton, if they decide to keep around, at least as far as a spot point guard, or whether a backup or you know, he's a decent point guard. You know, not a superstar point guard, but he gets the job done as a pass for his point guard. He can't necessarily shoot. But when the Knicks did put together a string of wins, he was at the forefront of with some good games. You know, he had a lot of 15-8 games, stuff like that. So this goes to your point as far as Julius Randle. He'll get him back in the thick of things. But who knows? Julius Randle may want to move on. You know, he probably wants a long-term deal. So the Knicks would have had that cap space, but I would have given him max money nonetheless. Av, as far as Patrick Ewing, I want to definitely say, as far as get well, not just Patrick Ewing, I'm talking to everybody. If you went through it and you lost a loved one, my condolences to you and your families who lost a loved one to COVID-19. And if you have it and you are having it currently as you hear this episode, definitely speedy recovery and get better. And this includes whether you're a celebrity, a basketball player, or non-celebrity. Everybody, it doesn't discriminate one person to another, old, young, whatever, you know, background, whatever. Just get better, recover as well, and that goes to Patrick Ewing as well. But Av, any additional thoughts as far as Tom Thibodeau? I wasn't even, you know, we brought up Chris Paul on the podcast last time, or I just don't. I don't know. See, Tom Thibodeau, Chris Paul is a Tom Thibodeau type of point guard. So you think now you see the pieces rolling together like that? I mean, I just think that these are speculations, but if you get Tom Thibodeau, then I could see you.
I think, as you were saying that, I was thinking to myself, Chris Paul and Tom Thibodeau would work perfectly. Because Chris Paul, you know, he is no nonsense, so he fits into that mold. He's not afraid about putting in the work. I mean, he is older and he's always been somewhat injury prone, but at the same time, you know that you're going to get full effort from him. So Thibodeau under Leon Rose in New York with this blank slate roster, it would be a situation where these three men can actually, you know, start to rewrite the reputation and, you know, adjust and make it more respectable. I think that, you know, you would have that no nonsense, leader on the bench, on the court. Guys will always be held accountable, which is something that's very important, in any organization, which is something the Knicks haven't had in years since Woodson. And I mean, that idea just gets me excited. I'm getting excited. I'm at a loss for words of the idea of Chris Paul and Tom Thibodeau under Leon Rose in New York with this blank slate roster. The possibilities are there, finally, you know, contend for playoff positions, finally, you know, earn some respectability and to change the perception of this organization, which is something that, you know, we've been the butt of the jokes for, you know, for 20, 25 years. It's about time that we actually finally start to, you know, to get that ball rolling. On the Dennis Smith thing, I just kind of like assume I'm only spitballing. There's no report or anything like this, but I'm just assuming the reason, you know, Dennis Smith Jr. is the way he is right now is that he probably walked into this season thinking he was the guaranteed starting point guard. And when they told him he wasn't, this is where it led up. Because I don't know if it's an injury thing. I don't know if it's a personal family thing, but it definitely looks like an attitude thing. I just see him disconnected, you know, for so long, and for him not to get the playing time has to be a personality thing. It can't be much else. And the fact that the reports are now going with the Knicks are trying to move him, even though he only makes about $5.2 million, which is not a lot of money in NBA salaries, but if they're already trying to move on from him, then there's got to be a good reason. And later on, once it happens, we'll start hearing more reports about what was his problem and why he didn't work out. But that's my theory on it. I think he's just upset that he he's just putting out a pouty face because he wasn't named the starting point guard going into this season. But my final thought, is that time for that or what are we doing, Steve?
Yeah, let's go to Dom and then go back to you on the final thoughts. Dominic, give us your final thoughts and then add and then we'll wrap up.
I just want the NBA to make a decision. Yay, nay. We'll be mad. We'll be happy. but we'll know. Let's just move on, guys. It's time. As far as the Knicks are concerned, that's not a bad idea. Thibodeau and Paul, again, he could at least stabilize that position for a few years, 2 years. Let's just say 2 years, if he gives us 2 good years. He could finally stabilize the position that has haunted us for umpteen years now. You know what? In the position we're in, it's not even a win-win, lose-lose. It's a step in the right direction. And whoever you draft, if you so happen to draft a point guard, well, guess what? That's a pretty good guy to have under your wing to show you how this game is played. We can say what we want about Chris Paul. He plays the game. He plays the game hard. He's not afraid. So I just think right now is the time for the Knicks to regroup, get their ducks in order. You've been given an opportunity over and over and over again. This time, let's make it work. And as always, Steve, I thank you. Knickerbocker Ave, I hope all is well. Let's play ball.
Let's play ball, man. Be safe, man. Dominic, Donardo DP. Thanks, man. Ave, final thoughts.
Man, oh, man, oh, man. We need sports in our life again. We really do. Folks, on the same personal thing, continue to be safe. Continue to take precautions and exercising social distancing and whatnot. Despite what you might see outside, what you know, or some of what your neighbors or your friends are doing, if they're not walking around with masks or anything, because you know they think that this is over. Don't be fooled. Don't believe everything the news says, but don't be fooled. Exercise, you know, your better judgment and actually continue to do what you have to do. I lost 2 family members. I lost 2 of my grandparents this year, and it was both due to the COVID-19. You don't want, and I'm sure there's been many people out there that have lost, you know, had losses in their lives. You don't want to affect your family and your life by just because you want to exercise your civil liberties or just go back to living your life, because we're not there yet. We're almost there, but we're not there yet. So please take care of yourselves, take care of each other, exercise, you know, your better judgment. And as always, Knickerbocker Ave on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, stay orange and blue, stay bleed blue all day, every day, 24/7, 365, 366, because this is a leap year. Knickerbocker Ave will sign out, and you can find me where, you know, Mark just told you. Knickerbocker Ave out.
Hey, shout out to Ave, and great words from Ave, and of course Dominic. This episode on the Hoops Hub on the getting started with the NBA, I really believe, and I said it all along, I'm optimistic of them finding a way to get it done. And I think they're going to get it done. It's just a matter of them keeping it tight-knit. Nobody necessarily knows. We can speculate. That's the great thing about not knowing it. We can all think it out, what makes sense. And I just think this will eventually get done. Ave, I got to say this, man. Sometime I'm definitely going to Knickerbocker Avenue's page sometime this weekend, because we didn't have time to discuss it tonight. Because you know, a lot of the various topics, and that's the great thing about us, you know, talking hoops and stuff on
right.
The sport. Man, I definitely want to get your opinion. Man, you know what? We might have to squeeze up. If you could say it real quick, because we're going to get it cut off. We're going to get cut off. I know this may fall in the rumor report avenue, but what do you think about – see, this is – at first, I thought this would have been a great idea, but what about what may or could, as far as a one LeVar Ball, but, you know, before the Thibodeau talks, now you add Thibodeau to the talks. Now, I don't see it happening now, but – LeVar Ball was really adamant of getting his son to play for the Knicks. I believe that a lot. I definitely believe that. Just knowing what we saw in his history of where he wants his sons to play and how that happened. Do you have an opinion on that? I don't think it will work out with Thibodeau now. That's the coach that you want. But if it wasn't Thibodeau, I mean, we're talking about point guard situation as far as the Ball kid, the Melo Ball. If you have an opinion, but I don't see it working. What's your opinion? Dom, if I could get your quick opinion, because we're actually out of time now. But real quick, Dom. I mean, real quick, Evan, then Dom.
It won't work. LeVar Ball is a cancer to our city if he comes here.
Yeah,
that's it.
All right, Dominic.
He exhausted his 15 minutes of fame. Let's just keep it real.
Yeah.
Everything he's touched has turned to doo doo. to include his league, his sneakers, whatever he's touched. We don't need nothing like that guy. Nothing personal. I ain't taking a shot personally. I'm just going by his track record. That's all.
It would have been a circus. Yeah, if you add Thibodeau to that, man, this is definitely not happening. All right, thanks, guys. Knickerbocker Avenue. Look forward to the post on your social media platform and down on Donardo DP on Twitter. Sangre Azul, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop.